Straight to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Breaking news, Messi isn't messing around.
Not at Barcelona.
Oh, goodness gracious. We could have some earth-shaking news over the next several days. We have a Champions League champion.
Finally.
Are they the best in the world? We'll talk about that. And we also have a little bit of this and that. And plus...
Oh, yeah. By the way.
By the way, two-time World Cup champion, three-time Olympic gold medalist, Christy Pierce-Rampone. She's got a new book out, and she joins us coming up in just a moment. Our boots are laced up extra tight. Our shin guards are ready to go. This is My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Want to welcome to the podcast two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion, three-time Olympic gold medalist. She's the former captain of the U.S. Women's National Team. Want to say welcome, a big My Three Subs hello to Christy Pierce-Rampone. Christy, your new book is out, Be All In, Raising Kids for Success in Sports and Life. I've had an opportunity to read this, and I have to tell you, I already know three or four adults that could really use this book right now.
Yeah, that's hopefully the purpose behind the book, is being able to hand this book over to parents that maybe need a little bit of an awareness check of their emotion during sporting events.
Congratulations on the book, first of all. And I, as I get through the book, I mean, right out of the box, you're talking about giving sports back to the kids. And for you, you've made that transition from on the pitch to the touchline, not just as a coach, but as a parent as well. Can you talk a little bit about your motivation and why you came out of the box with talking about giving sports back to the kids?
I mean, through my experience of, you know, playing at the highest level and the journey through my youth sports, as well as the combination of Dr. King giving the science and the clinical background of the brain development, we just decided to come together and help, like, guide parents and give them some suggestions on how to have a better relationship with a kid through sports, and realizing there's so much sports can give back to us other than just winning.
And I want to tell listeners that this isn't a book of where you've completed a very successful career and you're continuing on with some other great things and you're finger wagging at parents. I wanted to mention that Dr. Christine Keene is in this, and you two have combined to not just talk about some anecdotal things in your life and the lives of your kids, but also some of the reasoning, some of the science behind some of this. Can you talk a little bit about Dr. Keene?
She brought a great approach to this book of more the why behind, you know, anxiety, performance anxiety, the pressures kids face. You know, we do a lot of telling stories throughout my career, and then she gives the science behind it and realizing that the brain doesn't fully develop till you're 26, and our young athletes need guidance as their brain develops in decision making and their emotion behind some of the choices they make.
As we take kind of, I guess, the looking at the forest from high above, Christy, and you look at youth sports, and this is not just soccer, but it can be said for basketball, it can be said for baseball, it can be said for volleyball. Club sports are very lucrative, and kids can get caught up, and I think even parents maybe can get caught up in some of the pressure with the money and the time that's invested in. Would that be a fair statement?
It's a fair statement. I think nowadays with the money involved in youth sports and the commitment and parents running around, dropping kids off at all their different events, there's an investment in it, and they get emotional when things aren't maybe going the way they wanted to go, and the script written the way they wanted to plan out. But my biggest message is you have to trust that process, and remember, it is a process, and every child develops at a different rate, and every child has a different relationship with sports, and as a parent, you have to be aware of that, and their body language will tell you everything.
I read in your book, again called Be All In, Raising Kids for Success in Sports and Life, you've quoted in there that science shows that a lot of communication with kids and with people in general, about 93% of that is nonverbal.
Correct. Yes, I learned this in my latter part of my career with the national team is, you know, when you sit back, you know, when I was a captain, I could understand so much more about my teammates and my coaching staff from just watching and listening from afar. And, you know, body language tells us the complete story. Is your child in the middle of the huddle or on the outside? How are they, you know, working with others on the team when they're given constructive criticism? How do they respond? Are they more aware of parents yelling from the sidelines and, you know, fighting with other parents and how they're responding to the refs? Like, that you can see if you can actually, you know, take a step back and actually be able to read that body language. It tells the story.
And you found, and I think you've made it a point in the book more than once, that typically parents, even the ones that may be boisterous on the sideline, actually do have good intentions, and it's just sometimes a tough situation to navigate, but there is a very much a need for guidance.
Yeah, I mean, even myself, I get caught up in the emotion of sports. You know, you want to see your children be successful, you know, and there's moments where you feel things may not be going their way or is unfair, but you really have to take a step back and let your child experience those failures, those mistakes, those losses, and help them understand the why and, you know, appreciate the good moments they had in the game and change that mindset, because you're truly their first role model. And if you can explain to them that inner voice that's continuing to talk to them and is negative, can we change that to a positive so that, you know, they can feel good about stepping on the field, whether they're playing a team that's a higher rank than them, or, you know, they get so caught up in the best players on the field. Like, you just want your child to be the best player they can be. Don't compare them to somebody else.
Christy Pierce-Rampone joins us today. And in your book, Be All In, Raising Kids for Success in Sports and Life, you talk about a lot of your own experiences, and you apply that in this book with Dr. Christine Keene. For parents that are listening out there, could you maybe give them one piece of advice from your book, or just simply from your own personal experience, for a child that's maybe competing, and maybe what to say to them either before or after the game? I know these things can become hyper competitive. What can parents do to be a blessing to that child?
I think parents have to understand they have to try to be comfortable with the uncomfortable. You know, like those moments which bring a rise to us in the emotional part, like just accepting that sometimes it's not going to be smooth sailing and that's okay. But just have the open rapport and be honest with your child and set up realistic expectations for them.
What should a coach, or rather, what should a parent be looking for in a coach and a club culture? What are some questions, or what are some things they should be mindful of before putting their child in a club environment?
Yeah, I think every parent should make sure they make that team meeting prior to every season, starting with their coach, and understand what the final outcome and the final goal for that coach. Is it about winning? Is it about developing? And is it the right fit for you? You know, what kind of style of play is this coach trying to instill on his team? And just make sure it aligns with your relationship with sports as a family.
And before we go, Christy, I wanted to ask you about this because you address this in your book as well, and that's sports injuries and not just identifying them, but also how to work through them and rehabilitate from them. We've had a guest on previously, a friend of our show, Ross Pauley, who has talked about concussions, and you talked about that as well. Can you talk about the importance of getting that right, not just concussions, but how to deal with sports injuries as a parent or as a coach?
That's another tough situation because it depends on the timing of the injury. You know, a lot of times parents want to rush their child back for a big moment or a big championship game, and they have to really reflect on, is this going to injure my child even more? Is it really worth that one game? Because I always like to say one game isn't going to define your child. You know, if they're doing well and they're succeeding, you know, they have to realize they're part of the team, whether it's, you know, producing on the field or off the field, and they're just in a different role, and that's okay. But just not putting the pressure on your children to get back if they truly aren't healthy enough to be themselves on the field, because it will hurt their mental side of the game. If they physically aren't ready, the mental side of the game will then take a hit.
Once again, the name of the book is Be All In, Raising Kids for Success in Sports and Life. Christy Pierce-Rampone, we appreciate your time. Thank you for being such a great ambassador of the game. We look forward to seeing you on television again with some more analysis. Fantastic job in the last World Cup, and we look forward to checking out the book. We'll spread the word, and thank you so much for your time, for joining us here in Memphis today.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
There's the whistle. Second half, My Three Subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
It's great to be with you here for the second half of the podcast, Christy Rampone.
Man, talk about hardware.
Yeah, and a terrific book. It's about coaching parents. As much as it is ever about
my mom could
kids.
Use that book, by the way.
Well, as you heard me at the beginning of the interview, I know three or four people that could use that book. It's kind of like a Bible sometimes.
Yeah. My mom got a yellow card in one of the matches I got fouled in. And yeah.
Really?
Yeah, my mom got a card.
Holy mackerel. She's something else.
She gives Mole Queen a run for his money, okay?
We'll talk about 901FC coming up in just a moment, but we do have a few items to get to. One including, an England star may not be back to England anytime soon. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But Champions League, Bayern Munich, PSG. What a finale.
Yeah.
If you're looking for not a lot of goals, this was your type of match.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you had Bayern who plays like a team. But then you've got the superstars over on PSG who can put it in the back of the net, you know, who have no problem at all finding the back of the net. And yet we find that the team won the team sport.
No. You had Neymar, Thiago Silva, Mbappe,
yep.
Di Maria and company, PSG, which made an extraordinary run at the beginning of the calendar year. I would not have bet in favor of PSG making the final. They were able to pull things together, finished up very strongly with the rest of the French league that did finish. It was a truncated season,
right,
but then prepared for the quick run through the Champions League to the finals. They were able to get there, but just came across a very, very determined Bayern Munich.
They're not going to asterisk this season, are they, with this champion? They're not going to say, oh, but...
I don't think that they will, but it moved so quickly, and you didn't have the home and home series, a true home and home. That,
I mean, you had a game every other day.
It missed a lot of the pomp and circumstance.
That's for sure. Even the cup ceremony, you know, and they're dragging this cup, like, you know, across the pitch and everything, and there's confetti everywhere, sure, but it missed everything. Like, it was just...
Well, and it was so odd, Brody, because you had Turner that started with the Champions League rights and then just said, screw it, we're abandoning them. And then CBS took over the rest of the way. So it was just odd from an on-pitch, off-the-pitch standpoint all the way through. But the bottom line...
Go ahead.
It was just a weird...
I will say this about the CBS All Access and Champions League being on there. I'm going to give props to CBS All Access in the way that they kind of set up watching the Champions League. It was very easy to follow. You knew exactly which match, and a lot of times you have to do a lot of scrolling. Well, not CBS All Access, so props to them. That's all I just wanted to say.
You know, they did a good job with NWSL, too.
And maybe they had, you know, the opportunity to kind of, like, you know, work out the kinks with the NWSL, but very, very easy to watch.
Very shocking, though. No Mike Watts on this broadcast, unlike all the other CBS All Access broadcasts.
He's been kind of AWOL. I miss the guy.
Yeah, if he's not on the air for a day, you put him on the milk
Mike, button. You okay?
Yeah. You do a wellness check for him. But PSG fell short. Manuel Neuer was fantastic in goal. PSG's defense is actually quite spectacular. I have to give them props. I know they lost 1-0. They could have lost by more. The defense did well. They were just missing a little something to link up Mbappe and with Neymar. And I think they even, and Di Maria, who seemed to just not have a good game, but also... I think they left one of their weapons on the bench in Icardi. Icardi did not even get to the pitch. I think Thomas Tuchel, he'll get some criticism for that, but I think this kind of breaks up the band.
But how about Bayern? You know, they didn't even have a manager really, you know, halfway through the season.
Hansi Flick was called in as the interim manager. I remember we were kind of joking about it just because of the name. We had fun with his name, and he took over. Bayern was sitting maybe third or fourth at the time in the Bundesliga. They came through, they won that, and he had the team firing on all cylinders. And
then they win the Champions.
The wild thing is that match was so bogged down that Bayern really never had to kick out of first gear.
No.
They never, you know, Davies did what Davies does, but the rest of the clubs did not have to go at breakneck speed.
You know, I think maybe this is where we transition from that, and I asked you off mic just for a second, but who is the better CONCACAF player now? Because now you have Christian Pulisic from America, you have Davies in Canada, and you have Raul Jimenez over in Mexico. And those three, I mean, you want to talk about a striking force. You could make you set those up as your, you know, basically attackers, and you're unstoppable.
I have yet to hear anybody say anything bad about Alphonso. Anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody.
I mean, Alphonso Davies, I mean, goodness gracious, the ankles that he broke. There are people still with ice on those things, you know, and just the creativity on the ball. It's hard to say something bad about his play.
Jimenez is a special one. He has been a contributor in 2020. And Pulisic played an important role in Chelsea's renaissance at the end of the season, too.
I think the problem, though, that you have with Pulisic is the injury. What is going on with those hamstrings? You know, come on, ice them hammies. Get some water or something. I don't know. But
he's going to get more chances at the Champions League, though. That's going to be just around the corner with Chelsea finishing in the top four. The question is, will Manchester United's Harry Maguire get a chance at Champions League? after getting in a bit of trouble over in Greece. Greece is the word that you heard, and it's not a good one for Harry Maguire. This just in the last couple of hours before we recorded this, Manchester United captain Harry Maguire guilty of assault, resisting arrest, and repeated attempts of bribery following his trial after an altercation with police officers on the Greek island of Syros. He was released from custody over the weekend. He was not present at the trial, and he has received a suspended sentence of 21 months and 10 days.
Bro.
Suspended sentence. So I guess he'll be back soon, but he had better not cause any trouble.
What is he doing?
Well, here's the statement from Manchester United. Manchester United notes the verdict of the Greek court today. Harry Maguire pleaded not guilty to all of the misdemeanor charges made against him, and he continues to strongly assert his innocence. It should be noted that the prosecution confirmed the charges and provided their evidence late on the day before the trial, giving the defense team minimal time to digest them and prepare. A request for the case to be adjourned was subsequently denied. Harry Maguire's legal team will now appeal the verdict to allow a full and fair hearing of that. Maguire was arrested along with his brother Joe and friend Christopher Sharman on Thursday night after a brawl in which two police officers were allegedly assaulted on Mykonos. Joe Maguire was found guilty of repeated bodily harm, violence against public employees, and attempted bribery. Sharman was found guilty of insult, repeated bodily harm, and violence against public employees.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
And that's about all I've got to say until that appeal goes through. But apparently something went down. He had a little too much fun.
But you have that at Man U, and then you've got this other story at Man U where Victor Lindorf, he actually detained, he turned into like a superhero where he detained this dude who snatched this lady's purse in Sweden. So you've got like both ends of the spectrum over at United.
Oh, Lindelof will probably get a medal or some sort of, you know, certificate for that.
He's like Spider-Man in Sweden over there, and meanwhile you got this guy beating up cops.
In another weird story, in La Liga, an assistant referee has recently been demoted after holiday pictures showed up with him partying on a boat with La Liga players Danny Parejo and Roberto Soldado.
Yeah,
and of course, the assistant referee says, "I've been friends with them for a long time. I did not officiate any of their matches this previous season. In fact, I'm friends with several players, as are other officials in this league. There has been no wrongdoing." But if we're truly honest, if there's even any sniff of fraternizing with players, then
there's going to be even punishment. A drop of blood in the water, sharks will circle.
Even if it's totally innocuous, you can't be caught doing that.
You can't do that.
That's a big old no-no. Let's just recap very quickly. The European, of course, we mentioned Bayern defeated PSG in the Champions League. In the Europa, Sevilla, a goal and an own goal by Romelu Lukaku. Sevilla wins that one 3-2 over Inter. Conte is out at Inter. And coming shortly in Budapest will be the Super Cup, and Bayern will take on Sevilla, and they are allowed 30% capacity at that stadium, which means 20,000 will be in attendance for that game.
That's 30%.
Yeah. The stadium holds about 67,000.
Holy smokes. I'm sorry. That's a very large amount of people.
That's a very large amount of people.
Just saying.
This weekend, you've got the Community Shield coming up. You've got Arsenal and Liverpool, which could be a nice additional piece of software.
Who shows up? Who plays in that match?
Let's say software, a piece of hardware on the show.
No, it's a software at that point. At this point, because I don't think you get both full strength.
You get guys with jersey numbers in the 60s, 70s, and 80s playing part of that match. I think maybe you get some of the stars for part of the match, and then you make wholesale substitutions because it is a friendly.
Yeah, I think Aubameyang waves to the camera, and then that's all you see of him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you get anybody even on Liverpool's roster making any kind of valuable minute. It'll be really interesting if they do. I'll just put it like that.
This match is usually meaningful in that people have been fasting off of soccer for 2 months, and this is the first sign of legitimate football being back. But really, this is the first sign of football being back in
6 days.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm fiending because we haven't had it every hour on the hour.
Yeah,
you know, like we had in the past. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. I don't expect a really good match, though. I really don't.
But there will be a match.
There will be a match.
We do expect a match.
There will be a match, but it won't be anything worth talking about.
And I guess we should probably move our way over to the USL Championship.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that for a moment. And Memphis 901 FC, I thought, threw everything they had at Birmingham after going down 1-0 on the road. They came back and tied it pretty quickly with Rafa Mensingen cleaning up the garbage in the middle of the box, which is one of those... Great. I'll take it. The ball was bouncing around. He's right place, right time, which he was the previous game. And
found the back of the net this time, though.
Thank you very much. It's the second of the season.
Yep.
Good hustle play. And then 901 FC took the lead a little bit later on what is one of the best penalty kicks the club has ever seen, Candle Marsh Brown.
It's the KMB guarantee.
You want to talk about the setup with Cal Jennings?
Yeah, let's talk about that breakaway, because you could have had two penalties on that breakaway. One at the right there at the center circle, really, where he was kind of pushed down. But I understand why there wasn't a call there. There was a little pushing and shoving on both sides, so it goes down all the way down to the 18-yard box.
It's called jostling.
Little nudging back and forth, you know, friendly. And then by the 18-yard box, Jennings turned on the Jets. So props to him. He saw gold, and he wanted to take it. However, was pulled down right there at the edge of the 18-yard box. I actually flipped over to Birmingham's call right around that time just to hear what they were saying. A lot of moaning and complaining, we'll just say.
It looked legit, though.
It was legit.
And then Keanu Marsh Brown steps up, buries it, probably even scrapes a little bit of paint off of the left upright as he tucks that away.
Makes
great
it, shot.
Makes it 2-1. 901 FC hung on. And then at the 90th minute comes the sign of 9 minutes of added time.
Brutal.
I don't know where those 9 minutes came from, but there they were.
Well, there were a lot of cards. Let me tell you something. This Birmingham and Memphis match, this game, this one, not any previous ones, because Birmingham has repeatedly had Memphis's number. This match, I think you can definitively say as being the match that kicks off a heated rivalry. Both sides had very passionate exchanges, we'll say.
Hard fouls in the match.
Very hard fouls.
Even Candle Marsh Brown with a hard foul.
Yep.
As he was following up on a rebound, I thought Raul Gonzalez with a good hard foul, which
it was clean. However, I understand why he got a card.
We'll need to talk about him in just a moment, because he was one of a few substitutions on the night. Mm-hmm. Leston Paul looked like he took maybe an arm to the head earlier in the match, a hard foul on him. And
a lot of cards handed out.
Yes.
Benches got cards in the match.
Sure.
So very heated. Props to 901. Both goals coming off of two set pieces. You know, every week we hear coach talk about, you know, we're working on set pieces. Well, finally, I think we see a payoff.
Sure.
From that. Two set pieces, two goals.
And then in the 97th minute, a foul in the box. Liam Doyle fouling one of the Birmingham players. And
dumb foul.
Steps up and equalized the match at two apiece. Memphis leaves with a point out of Birmingham, which is a good result considering Birmingham is running away with Group G at the moment. But because these teams play each other two more times,
it's going to get it can turn
into a very tight race pretty quickly. On the note of the match, some changes. Raul Gonzalez was in for his first start for 901 FC.
How do you think he did?
I thought he was everywhere. I thought he was aggressive. I think he made the most of his time. I thought it was
agreed.
A good start.
Agreed.
I thought he was just fine.
Raul, too cool for school.
Too cool for school. And let's see, who else was in?
Jennings saw the start.
Jennings got his first start.
Brandon Allen off the bench.
Brandon Allen came in off the bench. I don't think he had enough touches to make that much of an impact when he
was in. I think he only touched the ball three times.
And then you had, as you mentioned, Cal Jennings came in for a start. I thought he provided some energy. What I will say that he did off of the ball is when he tracked back, I thought he knew how to step and disrupt passing lanes where Birmingham would try to switch. He would either take a step back or step in and cut off
that center back from receiving that pass and forcing Birmingham to try something different. So he did some subtle things that I thought he did right. Was it a complete game? You know, that'll be something for Tim Mulqueen to answer better than we can.
Yeah.
But I thought he acquitted himself well.
How about the new formation from 901 FC?
It's like a 3-4-3
something,
maybe.
Yeah.
I thought it was very productive.
It was a very high 3-4-3.
And let's talk about, you mentioned the foul by Liam Doyle late in the match. I thought otherwise, though. I thought he handled everything at the back pretty darn well.
I was kind of hoping, because around the 89th minute, we'll just say the end of the match, Doyle looked gassed. And rightfully so. I mean, he had been handling the punishment that Birmingham was, you know, throwing up pretty hard.
And Memphis absorbed a lot in the last 20 minutes of the match. A lot of pressure. Some of those opportunities began to dry up on the other end.
Yeah. And so I was kind of hoping to see a sub, but by that point, I think, you know, we had exhausted all of our substituting opportunities. So it was tired. It was a tired foul.
Yeah.
You know?
And in the midst of that, some unfortunate necessary substitutions, as we don't know what the medical issue condition was, but it did look like Keanu Marsh Brown got his bell rung on a clearance by Rafa.
He looked a little stunned.
When he walked off, he looked a bit dazed.
Yeah.
We don't know specifically. That's not something that we're privy to.
Right.
But hopefully, you know, he's okay. But he was one of our most dynamic players on the pitch just because of the ground that he can cover. He had to come off. And
a lot of cramping from Metz. Was it Metz who was cramping up so bad?
Metzger came in. He wasn't the one that was cramping. I think Jennings had a little bit of a cramp issue.
At one time, we had four guys down cramping up.
Yes. Yeah. It was hot. It was humid in Birmingham. All in all, though, if you go in and you take a point off of Birmingham, I think you're happy. But I also think you're disappointed because you're almost to the finish line and in 9 minutes of added time. I was thinking when they pulled up the board, it was going to be maybe 5 minutes.
I said six,
maybe.
And because six was fair, even with all the cards, there weren't a lot of scoring. You know what I mean? It was still 2-1. You know, and okay, 6 minutes I'll give you. But 9 minutes because of cards?
Yeah. Did it even go in further? Did it go to 10 minutes? I think
we're at 103rd minute for a minute.
Yeah, it was. It was very unfortunate, but bottom line, they did get a point, and we also saw where teams ahead of them had actually dropped points at the weekend as well. So really, they're still in play for a top two spot.
Memphis beats North Carolina. Of course, that is this weekend. You're looking at 9 points, which is second place.
Yeah.
Anything is still possible. So anybody who's in last right now, I don't think there is anybody in any of the groups that is, you could count them out, you know, scratch them off the board. So that's what's making this really interesting, Tim, is that every group has its set of challenges. Birmingham's a good challenge, you know.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to this week to see how the attack sets up. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about how we've seen Rafa Mensigan continue to grow on the left side, that he's starting to develop along, you know, with Buckmaster at left back. Then you've got Segbers and Keanu on the right side. Jennings played, thought he was solid in his start. You've got Brandon Allen, who scored 51 goals in this league. Which direction do you go? Do you go back to Allen? Did Jennings do enough to earn a start? Do you try to get them to coexist? Can they coexist? It'll be interesting to see when the lineup card comes out an hour before the match, how Tim Mulqueen plays this.
I think the only reason why you put Brandon Allen back in is maybe, and this is just kind of eye test, is that there is maybe a little rapport between Leston Paul and Keanu Marsh Brown, Brandon Allen, and that crew, because they work. You see it in the passes; they're crisp. They know where each other is going to be. There's a little familiarity with that group. With Jennings in lieu of Brandon Allen, you didn't quite see the ball placement like you normally do. A lot of behind the play passes and stuff like that. So I don't know. Maybe is that another week of practice? you know, and a little bit of more training with Jennings instead of Allen right there. I don't know.
And it's a tough ask this weekend against North Carolina FC. They were able to pick up a late first half goal last time Akeem Ward scored. And then after that, I mean, that was all the scoring. That was it for the scoring. Brandon Allen had a couple of opportunities. He was able to get in. That's another reason maybe Brandon Allen does get another look, because he did have a couple of opportunities. The shots went begging. He had a header that I thought he was going to nail, but that one went wide. I think he had one more opportunity. But he is creating opportunities, some chances to score. So maybe he is the key that unlocks this for 901 FC. Or maybe it's a different look with Jennings that North Carolina hasn't seen. I don't know. But it makes for an intriguing matchup, and there's a lot at stake as both teams trying to claim a spot and catch up to Charlotte and take that second spot in Group G.
Right, but both very possible, as both clubs with 3 points would catapult themselves. Memphis would tie for second, and North Carolina would catapult over.
Any other unfinished business we got? Anything on the agenda?
Nothing coming to mind other than, you know, can't wait for matches to start back up.
Well, 5 minutes from now.
I think there's a friendly happening right now today, and then there's something happening tomorrow.
Then on the West Coast, Portland and Seattle tonight at 2:05 a.m. Pacific time.
I will say that those late night matches kill me. Kill me. I mean, they're awful.
Yeah.
Because they're late even for them, you know? It's 10 o'clock at night, and they're kicking off.
Well, then I saw this week, too, Orlando has a home game. Hadn't they just been at home for the last 6 weeks? It's crazy.
That's what the tournament was. They're no longer allowed to be at home the rest of the season.
Oh, excuse me. Neutral site.
Whatever.
Yeah. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter at My3Subs Podcast, My3Subs Soccer Pod on Instagram, and My3Subs Podcast at gmail.com. Thank you, Christy Pierce Rampone. Make sure you check out her book, Be All In. You can get it now. It's a fantastic book. I've had a chance to read that. And for parents of athletes, I think it will do you a world of good and be an eye-opener from someone who has walked the walk, and now she's putting it into words for everybody. And I think is that pretty much going to do it? I don't even think we need added time. I think the referee signaled.
There's the whistle right there, Tim.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My3Subs Podcast, a Soccer Odyssey.